I'm a social worker. I have a master's in social work, and I wear several different hats at the VA. And one of them is that I'm the polytrauma case manager. So I coordinate the care of all the young veterans coming out of our current conflicts that have multiple types of injuries. Typically, that would be a mild traumatic brain injury in conjunction with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. But they may also have other, physical injuries to their back or legs, or they may have had an amputation and they're in need of prosthetic devices in order to improve their functioning and to be as independent as possible.
What would you say is, from your experience, the ratio of veterans who can adjust to civilian life compared to those who reenlist and they've sort of given up on civilian life and feel more comfortable on the battlefield?
There are some that, started into the Army, let's say, or Marines, and as an 18-year-old, and they did their 4 years, got back stateside, and decided, wow, this is really different, and I miss it. And they may go back in and go on to have full, successful careers in the military. Others get out and they do struggle, and they don't want to go back to the military, but the transition back to the civilian world can be quite challenging. In fact, that's one of the things the VA did in response to the current conflicts was to create the OIF-OEF program. It just stands for Operation Enduring Freedom for Afghanistan and Operation Iraqi Freedom for Iraq. Now they call it the Transition Care Management. And this is all lessons learned from Vietnam. When the Vietnam vets came back, as we all know, they were not oftentimes treated very well and came back to a lot of hostility. And the VA was there, but there wasn't a lot of outreach at that time, and a lot of veterans just kind of slipped through the cracks and, as I always say, kind of got off the path of life, and never found their way back again. And so we still have veterans from Vietnam that are still struggling, and we didn't do a good job of helping them make that transition back to the civilian world. So again, the lessons learned from all that is we're doing a much better job of reaching out now. So in fact, for a period of 5 years after the service member gets out of the service, that they have access to VA healthcare, all of them. And if a veteran comes into the VA and they're struggling, they're having issues, maybe they're homeless, or maybe they're already involved with some substance abuse, or they're having a difficult time making that transition. So we will actually, put them on a kind of a case management roster. And depending on the intensity of their needs, we will contact them on a weekly basis or monthly basis or quarterly or whatever it might be. The whole intent there is to, make sure they don't fall through the cracks and that we're going to continue to reach out and encourage them. I might spend a year following a young veteran before they finally consent and are ready to enter into mental health treatment, let's say.
It can take a year sometimes for somebody to settle in, maybe not adjust, but it can take somebody that long to actually get involved in services.
There's a variety of reasons for that, but in the military, the idea of seeking help, especially mental health help, is frowned upon. And there's been a big push within the military services to try to encourage service members to seek help when they need it. A commander might get up there and state that, officially, but the reality oftentimes at the lower level from supervisors or first sergeants or, the NCO in charge or whatever may be quite different.
Why is that?
Well, it's just the type of thing about understanding the military culture. We have to present ourselves in a capable manner that we're on top of things, that we're in control, that we can respond to whatever directions the commander might give. And so to acknowledge that there may be some problems that we're having, it's just not something that people tend to want to do.
What was it that caused the military, the higher ups, to start to shift that?
As most people know, if you read the papers, is that there is a high suicide rate. That became a very pressing issue, and the commanders, needed to respond. And the other thing too is that, we use this term in the military about readiness. okay? And that if you've got people in amongst your troops that are having difficulties, then they're not combat ready. And so to address those things, you know, to allow them to seek counseling or even be on medications, that they will actually be functioning better and will be more mission ready. You know, you could be diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, let's say, after one combat tour, and you're staying in the military. You might be involved with counseling. You might have psychiatric medications you're taking, but you still could go back and serve another tour, even with medications.
What are some of the issues that you're seeing typically on the Western Slope?
Most people in this area know we have homeless veterans. Unfortunately, we don't have a true, homeless shelter that's, operated 24/7. A lot of them are kind of part-time here and there. There's been a lot of evolution in the programs in the Aspen area. In the Grand Junction area, there are 150 veterans that are in what we would call the supportive housing program. So if you're familiar with like a HUD voucher, it's run in a similar fashion so that the veterans' rent is subsidized through this voucher. And then there's social workers that work intensively with them to address whatever issues they have.
How many women do you typically see on the Western Slope?
I don't know what the statistic is locally, but I think the average citizen should know that 15% of active duty personnel are women. I'm guessing something close to that is probably the percentage of veterans that we serve through the VA.
What made you decide to get into this kind of work with vets?
I'm a social worker, as I said, but I'm also retired from the Air Force. So I served, four countries overseas, a variety of different stateside assignments in Air Force hospitals and clinics. So I have this connection with veterans, and it was very attractive to me to come back to serving our country and being around folks that I served with as an active duty member.
My guess is this can be pretty difficult work, seeing veterans needing a lot of help, polytrauma work. What keeps you coming back?
It's an honor to do this, that old expression about you receive more than you give. And nothing could be truer than working at the VA and serving those who have sustained considerable losses and altered the course of their life out of service to country. And it doesn't get any better than that. So it's just a real honor to do what I do and to serve the folks that have served.
It's Memorial Day. What do you think the community can do to help vets readjust a little bit better?
Just to be welcoming. If you know someone's a veteran, and I know this kind of gets kind of cliche and a lot of people may feel uncomfortable with saying it, but just to thank them, thank them for their service. Just something simple as that. If these are individuals that you know personally, either family or friends or whatever, ask them, hey, is there anything I could do to help? A lot of people don't realize just to come into the VA is kind of re-traumatizing for some veterans.
Talk about that.
But I had a young veteran who had pretty significant post-traumatic stress disorder, and he came into my office and he told me that he was sitting in the parking lot for 2 hours trying to get up enough whatever to come in to the VA. And a lot of people say, well, geez, it's a hospital. It's a supportive environment. But it can be a trigger for their symptoms because they're going to be around people who are, openly expressing their service. Most veterans come into the VA and they've got their hat on, their baseball cap, acknowledging they served in the Army, the Marines, or the Air Force, or whatever it might be. They might have a hat on that indicates the era in which they served, the combats that they were involved with, the ships they served on. So all of these things, unfortunately become triggers. A lot of people just go through Memorial Day and they have their barbecues and whatnot and everything and never give it a second thought. But the fact is that day is set aside to recognize folks that have made that ultimate sacrifice and that we need to express that appreciation. Think about it, offer up some prayers related to these folks that have given that sacrifice and to spend some time on that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.